Cleanup items, really quick. Let me make sure that I'm turning my mic on. How's that? All right. I loved what you said, Samantha, about the verses. I hope a lot of other people will sign up for this, because if you don't, I have a lot of verses that mean something to me. If you don't sign up, I'm going to. So please, please sign up if you will. Also, I know I shouldn't have drank that last half a cup of coffee this morning. I can tell that it's not too bad. It's not as bad as I thought it would be, but still, a little bit of nervousness, of course. And the third thing, John Green blessed me with a clock down front. Now, I'm not sure if he turned it up or down, so we'll find out in a little while, but he did bless me with a clock, so thank you for doing that, John. That way I didn't have to bring my other phone up here and sit, so I appreciate you doing that. Today I want to talk about the cross. I want to talk about how the cross makes a difference in our life. And I want to be real and genuine today. Since this is the first time I've spoken behind a pulpit, well, I've talked, I've done announcements, stuff like that, but this is the first time I've really spoken behind a pulpit. I don't compare myself to anyone in the Bible. Don't compare myself to Paul for sure, Glenn. There's no way we can. I love Glenn in the Wednesday night services. He's been talking about Paul, and he's like I am. I can't wait to meet him, okay? But Paul talked about not being eloquent in speech. He talked about sometimes not being able to say the words in person, I guess, that needed to be said. But when he wrote letters, boy, did they mean something. They meant something. Today I am going to be talking out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but adding some other things to it. I'm hoping that I can say some words that some of you will take and listen to and use in your everyday life. But first and foremost, I want us to be closer to Christ. I think we all need to do that. And I want to say that I'm only a vessel today for that. What I'm going to say may not be eloquent. It may not be the best message you've ever heard. But I'm hoping that something I say will mean something to you. This past week, I came up to the church a couple times to practice a sermon. Now, it's a whole lot easier to speak to empty pews, okay? It's a whole lot easier. And the first time I spoke, it took me about 2 hours to get through my sermon, so I hope y'all are okay with that. But the second time, I actually got it down to 20-some, 30-some minutes. Okay, so I think we're going to be okay with lunch. I hope we got some. In my 59-plus years, boy, that's tough to hear. 59-plus years, I've often struggled to understand why Jesus, a perfect, sinless man, would suffer and die on the cross for me. I'm not perfect. I've carried a lot of crosses in my life. My crosses sometimes have been light, and sometimes they've been heavy. And I'm sure all of us sitting here today can understand that. Throughout our life, we have heavy crosses we carry. There are times we might carry a light cross. My hope is that today I can explain why Jesus Christ had to die that cruel death on the cross. Even more so, why he chose that death for himself. Jesus chose the death. I think it's important for us to understand that. Imagine a man like him, a perfect, sinless man, walking up the hill of Golgotha, whether he carried his entire cross, he probably didn't, probably carried the crossbow, but the entire cross was around 300 pounds. The crossbow was somewhere between 80 and 90 pounds. So this is a man who had been beaten within an inch of his life, who actually had been scourged, he had been tortured, he had been humiliated. Even the soldiers told someone, please come and help him carry the cross. So we had Simon the Cyrene to come and help Jesus carry this cross. But there was one burden that Simon could not help Jesus with, And that was the burden of all of mankind's sin. He could not help Jesus carry those sins. So I think we have to understand that we're talking about the sins of all mankind, but all past, all present, and all future. Jesus carried those sins to that cross, and he died. So let's stand, if you would. I know we've done this some recently, and I think it's a great thing. Let's stand and read the scripture today, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. You can be seated. Let us pray for a second. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just give me the words that you want me to say, that people today will be touched not by my words, but by your word. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would turn our life to you, and that we would try to live better for you as we go out into this world. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. So I know that many speakers try to impress people with powerful speeches. And if you look at Paul here, Paul talks about he's kind of weak. He's not eloquent. He doesn't do those powerful speeches per se. It's easier for him to write it down. To understand Paul's message to the Corinthians, though, I think it's important for us to understand who Paul was talking to. So Paul was talking to Corinthians. We know a lot about the Corinthian church. We do know that in Corinth, it was a city where east met west. It was a very cultural city. It was a city that had a mix of Greeks and Italians and Jews, a mixed multitude of other people. Religion in this city consisted of a lot of temples to Roman and Greek gods, in particular Aphrodite. In the temple that was so prevalent in this city at the time, there were 1,000 prostitutes waiting at the temple gates for people to come in. The people were given over to pleasure and debauchery, to drunkenness. It seemed that they were so evil that there was a phrase that was coined about these people and about their sin. It was to Corinthianize, believe it or not. And it meant, essentially, that you could go to the very limit of your sin. That's the way the people lived in Corinth. So when Paul was talking to Corinthians, he wasn't just talking to any old Jewish people. He was actually talking to people that were sinners, okay? They were talking to people who lived the way they wanted to live in their life. Paul addressed reports in this letter, 1 Corinthians, he addressed reports that were coming to him about the local church, about the local Corinthian church, which was a Christian church. But there were a lot of new converts, and the people there were dealing with a lot of issues in the church. Individualism, sexual immorality, suing one another, idolatry, practices of worship, different aspects of worship. All these issues were being sent to Paul, and Paul addressed them all in 1 Corinthians, the letter of 1 Corinthians. Understand that today, our church, not necessarily Mount Olive, but our church, is beset with some of these same issues. In the early New Testament church, the early church leaders focused on the centrality of the cross. I think it's important for us as a church to focus on the cross today. I don't think we do that enough. Have we gotten away from the person of Christ and the concept of salvation through what happened on the cross? See, Paul, in these few verses I read, spoke about a crucified Savior. One who had suffered and died and for the sins of the world. Paul was talking to the Corinthians about this. He wanted to remind them why they became Christians. Paul never thought of himself as great, but we see time and time again in the letters that Paul wrote to the early Christians that he opened his heart and he was vulnerable. He told people what was on his heart. This is a man that persecuted Christians before he ever came to become a Christian. Now, I want to shift gears just a little bit. And I thank God that we have people, Noble and John, who have been speaking. And they're speaking directly from the Word of God on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis. So thank you for that. But if you watch TV and you listen to some of the preachers of today, do they preach the message of the Christ on the cross? Now, a lot of them dress cool, okay? A lot of them dress cool. They soup up the sermon. They could preach a message that makes people feel really, really good. There's nothing wrong with any of that. I think it's nice to dress cool. I think it's nice to soup up a sermon. And also nice that you can, when people walk out of church, they feel pretty good about themselves. But I don't think we should camouflage Christianity just for the sake of doing it. It's nice to have cool-looking facilities. That's great. It's nice that we have great production, slogans, and slick presentations. But if we camouflage Christianity, you know what we get? We get pretty people. If you look around, you got some pretty people here. You get pretty programs. You get pretty buildings. But you still have pretty problems. We can't camouflage Christianity with big words or slogans and any of these things that I've talked about. We have to be very careful about doing that as a church today. But Paul kept reminding in 1 Corinthians the new Christians to focus on Christ crucified. In the same way, we should be focusing our message on Christ crucified and His resurrection to the outside world. When we finish on Sunday morning, we go outside these walls, what do we talk to people about? Do we ever bring up Jesus Christ? Or do we just talk? Remember this. And as I was studying this week, it kept coming back to me. Satan wants to distract us with a lot of different things. Satan distracts us with things we deem important. A lot of other people deem them important. Money. Programs. Past issues. Graveyard. He'll distract us with a lot of different things that seem important to us at the time. He knows when we're distracted that the church will not be effective in this world. And we need to remember that. If we get off on a tangent and just do what we want, say what we want, inside the church or outside the church, Satan is winning. We don't need to be distracted. We won't be sharing Christ crucified and the resurrection with others. We are commanded to share the gospel. Do not get distracted. What are we distracted by today? In our world, most people, a lot of people, are apathetic about the church and their faith. There are some things sometimes that we have to say that's really true. We get apathetic about our faith. I do as well. So when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. All right? Many people think they can just dip their toe in religion, can dip their toe into the church today. Just a little bit, just enough to be seen, maybe heard. Maybe they're involved in one thing or two things. They're probably good people. They think they're good people. Nothing wrong with that. However, if you look at the other spectrum, there are many people today that think their lives have been so bad and their lives have been so difficult that they can't possibly be helped by Jesus Christ. That's wrong. Jesus Christ came to save them from their sins, to came to save them from an eternity that's lost. See, a lot of people's sins prevent them from laying down their burdens at the foot of the cross. It's so easy for us to just live day to day and not think about the burdens that we have. And maybe those burdens are very difficult. If you would turn to, if you got your Bibles handy, turn to Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. And I think this illustrates what Paul was saying, but also what Jesus said to the people of that day. Now, if you remember, Jesus had just finished, not long before this, had finished feeding the 4,000 and had healed a blind man, and Peter had confessed to him. But here Jesus tries to let the people see what he's talking about the cross. In verse 34, Mark 8, verses 34 through 38, he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Notice who Jesus is talking to here. Who is he talking to? It's not just the people. It's the ones who are following him, who are the closest to him. Men that have been following him now for probably a year and a half. He calls them to him. He says, "Hey, you got to take up your cross. You got to take up your cross." What does it mean today for you to deny yourself and follow him? Are we willing to follow Jesus regardless of the cost? We should all determine and examine our hearts, study our desires and our sins. Listen, Jesus knew when he was talking to the disciples and talking to the people, he knew it was difficult. He knew it was difficult for people to follow him. Imagine how difficult it was. People were constantly bad-mouthing Jesus, saying things about him and talking about him and doing things to him, trying to. He knew it was going to be difficult. Discipleship is never easy. It's extreme. Paul made the same appeal to the Corinthians time after time after time. He said, "You've got to take up the cross and follow Jesus." It's all or nothing. How many times have we heard pastors say, you know, you can't be partially in or partially out? You remember the church Laodicea? What did Jesus say to the church of Laodicea? He said, "You can't be half in and half out. I'll spit you out of my mouth." That's the same way with us. We can't just dip our toe in religion. We can't just dip our toe into church and think that things are okay. It's not the way to be. We have to be all in or all out. It's not easy. So let me ask you, what's your cross today? Are you discouraged about your job? I know many are. Are you discouraged about the economy? Lord knows we hear it every single day. If you turn on the news, it's easy to get discouraged. When you go to the gas pump, how discouraged are you? Imagine living in Nevada and California where gas is $6 and $7 a gallon. It's easy to get discouraged today. What about your health? Are you discouraged about your health today? Your finances? What about family issues? school. Issues with other people. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Like I said, maybe your job's difficult. There's a lot of reasons we can get discouraged today. But understand, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. What does that tell you? I'll tell you what it tells me. It tells me that Jesus is going to help me carry my cross. I can't do it by myself sometimes. We, as people of today, need to understand Jesus should be our focus. Jesus on the cross should be our focus. Jesus tells us to follow Him because He's already carried the burden for all of us. He has carried the heaviest cross that's ever been carried. See, Paul stayed right with that preaching of the cross and Christ. He preached a crucified Savior, one that he helped crucify. But he's not the only person to help crucify Christ. We all did. That's the type of ministry that we need to understand today. What does it mean to us to be crucified with Christ? See, Paul tells us that his words and preaching weren't with man's wisdom. If you look in verse 5, brought from the Holy Spirit working through him. See, if our wisdom comes from man, where does our faith stand? Our faith stands with man. But when our wisdom comes from God, our faith is going to rest on Him. I was reading some stories and trying to think of an illustration about the cross, and I came upon a story. I'm not sure who wrote it, but it was a story of a young man who had kind of done everything in the world. It almost reminds you of the prodigal son, the way he lived. And this man got to the end of his rope. Some of us probably have been there before where you don't know where to turn. There's nowhere to turn. He got to the end of his rope, and right before he did something foolish, he turned to Christ, or he turned to God. He said, God, he said, I don't know where to turn. He said, my cross is too heavy to bear. So God spoke back to him. He said, young man, he said, if you would, there's a room in the back. He said, there's two doors. There's a door on the right, and then there's a door on the left. He said, now what I want you to do is take the cross that you think is too heavy for you, open the right door, and put your cross in that room. And when you get done with that, I want you to open the left door and go in there and take the cross that you think you can carry out of that room. So the young man did exactly what God told him to do. He opened the right door and he walked in there and he put his cross up on the back wall. He said he already felt better. He said, oh boy, I can't wait to get a lighter cross to carry. So he opens the left-hand door and he walks in, and there's crosses all in the room. There's hundreds of crosses. Some of them so large that you couldn't even see the top bar of the cross. So naturally, what are you going to look for? You're going to look for the smallest cross you could find. He walks to the back wall. He grabs the smallest cross. He looked at God. He said, God, this is the cross I want. God looked at him. He said, son, that's the cross you just put in the room. Listen, when we think our cross is too heavy to bear, it may not be. There's a lot of people in this world today that bear heavy crosses. A lot of crosses that are heavier than ours. We think ours is difficult to carry. I look at the cross as kind of being the skeleton of the Bible. The cross keeps the gospel together. It's the one thing that keeps the gospel together. It's relevant to everything in the Bible, the cross is. In the same way, our skeleton keeps our bodies together. What would happen if we didn't have a skeleton? Imagine, we'd be a big pile of mush, okay? That's all we'd be, just a bunch of ligaments and skin and stuff like that. What would happen if there wasn't a cross in the Bible? What would it be? To me, it would be a bunch of theological mush. It wouldn't mean anything. Because everything in the Old Testament and everything in the New Testament point to the cross. It points to the cross. And that's the important thing for us to understand. So I want to ask you, what cross are you bearing today? Understand that Jesus Christ is here to help you bear your cross. When we don't think we can go any longer, Jesus Christ is here with us. Even if you were the only person left on the earth, Jesus would have died for you. Yet He died for all of us combined. That cross was heavy. You alone cost Christ the same thing that all of us combined cost. Titus 2:14 says, Christ gave Himself for us so that He might redeem us. In the early church, the cross held a special meaning for Christians, the same as it does for us today. It reminds us of something sad that happened many years ago, but it also reminds us and reminded them of something so amazing. The sad part, Jesus, who was a perfect, sinless man, like I mentioned at the very beginning, He did good all the time. He taught people, He healed people, He fed people. He lived a sinless life. He continually ministered to people outside His comfort zone. He didn't care who they were. Even up to and including the time on the cross. Who was He ministering to on the cross? That's the sad part. But the amazing part is He shed His blood. He died on the cross. But in 3 days, He was resurrected. That's the amazing part to me. When women went to the tomb that day, Jesus' body wasn't there. You remember what this angel spoke to the ladies, and what did the angel say? The angel said, He's not here. He's alive. All of us need to remember that. Jesus is alive today, just like He was 2,000 years ago. There's no difference. Coming back from the grave proved that Jesus had dominion over death and the grave. Death and grave is not the end. We have an eternity to look forward to. If you're a Christian, you have an eternity to look forward to. If you're not a Christian today, I pray that you will, whether you walk the aisle of the church, but please make a decision today. You see, Jesus is going to live forever. We want to live forever in eternity with Him. I don't know about you, but I do. I'm excited about that. Will we make the decision to take up our cross and follow Him today? Jesus humbled Himself and showed unconditional love on the cross. In celebration, I know this is a little off, in celebration in honor of a man today, a Christian man turns 99 today. Jimmy Carter turns 99 today. And here's one thing his grandson said that he always remembered, no matter what it was. He said, if everyone could love the person in front of them, wouldn't we have a happier world? Instead of thinking about who they are or where they came from or what kind of life they live, just show them love. That was his philosophy when he got out of the White House. Just show them love. I think today that we need to understand that we need to keep the cross central in our churches. We need to keep the cross central in our lives, in our preaching, in our witnessing, our discipleship and ministry, in every single thing we do. Today, if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, feel free to come to the altar and do so. If you want to talk to somebody, Chris may be up here, I'll be up here. If you don't want to talk to somebody, that's fine. But if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, do so. You may be dealing with a burden today that you can't handle by yourself. Come to the altar. It's here. Put it on the altar before Jesus. Listen, there's plenty of room at the foot of the cross. For all of us, lay it down at the altar. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation this time, and I did not bring my bulletin with me, but I know it's here. Thank you for listening today. I hope and pray that as we go outside these walls today, they'll be willing to tell people about the cross, but also be willing to let them know how great it is to be able to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. Everybody, please stand.
Thank you.